We hope you enjoy this teaching by Pastor Sharon Kelly and Wave Church. We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching. We believe that it will enrich and empower your life.
Just pop your hand on the shoulder of the girl next to you. Let's pray for each other. Lord, thank you. I always want to be mindful, God, of the girl on my left and the girl on my right. Because, God, you put us on the planet right here, Virginia Beach, for such a time as this. Lord, thank you that we are co-laborers in Christ. We are sisters in Christ. We are for each other. Lord, help us be the biggest cheerleaders of each other we can be. Help us to love like we've never loved before, to challenge like we've never challenged before, to be quick to get rid of anger and offense, God. May this year be a year marked by women who are faith-filled and prayer warriors. Lord, we are just believing. We haven't been in 2019, but you have. And Lord, you're just waiting for us to catch you. And Lord, we are running hard as we hit the ground. We love you. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Give the girl a squeeze or a hug or a how are you doing or a happy new year. How is everyone? Did you have a good New Year's? Let me just say before I first up, you know, Alyssa, Rachel talked about Devoted Conference, which is coming up right around the corner. I think, is it February 28th through March? I always get the dates muddled in my head. February 28th. And something really significant and special happens at Devoted. It's a God-breathed moment in time for the women of not just Wave Church, but beyond. And we have a lot of women that come that aren't part of our church. They drive in, fly in. And can I just challenge each of us to be the best hostesses and the best, what could I say it? May people come in here and feel welcome like they've never felt before. Can we do that? And some of you, you know, maybe like, well, will I go this year? Can I just say to you, don't even let that be a question. It's like, no, I'm here. I'm here because God has destined this to be a significant moment of time for us. And can I challenge you to be running towards where God is and not running away? And I'm not saying that because I host it and our team. I promise you it's not that at all. I know that God breathed. He spoke this into being. And don't miss out. Don't miss out. Don't go, you know. And we take care of those who maybe come in by themselves. We make sure that you are really taken care of if you're on your own. But I promise you, you won't leave on your own. You'll leave with some new friends. So make sure you register today. And as women of Wave Church, let's own this baby. Like this is, really own it. Let's be talking to women, inviting women. Because I know God's going to move powerfully. And we're not going to be the same. We're going to be in His presence. We're going to have teaching that we've never heard before. Life change, life transformation. I believe miracles will happen that weekend. That God has designed to happen then. Because He just does. That's the way He works. He works by His word. And His word spoke prophetically a number of years ago. And I'm very grateful and honored and humbled. And I never go into the New Year thinking, oh, well, here we go again. I'm always like, God, help us. We need you and your Holy Spirit. Also, I was just thinking during worship, you know, it's 20 years. 20 years, two decades, two lots of 10 years, four lots of 5 years, 20 lots of 1 year. Isn't that crazy? You know, when you say 20 years, it just rolls off your tongue. But after having lived it, I'm like, wow, we've lived through some stuff, right? I remember, you know, we left Australia on December 27th. There's certain things that stick in your memory. You know that? If you look back, we left Australia December 27th. And we'd had Christmas with our families. Warm, hot. We decided, never do this. Note to self, I'm just giving you a piece of wisdom. If you are making a major life adjustment, don't think you're going to have 5 days in Hawaii and it's going to be magical. It is not. You've just left a very intense, stressful, you know, and here we were trying. I think Steve and I had one of the biggest fights we've ever had in our married life in Hawaii. It's like he had stitches in his foot. He couldn't go in the water. I mean, like, well, you know, hello. We left I think January 1st we left. So we had New Year's in Hawaii. We left January 1st to be in Virginia Beach January 2nd because our first Sunday was supposed to be January 3rd. But on the way to Chicago, I remember the pilot coming on and saying, you know, there's been a bit of a blizzard on its way to Chicago. And if you are passing through Chicago, you may not pass through. You may just stop. And I remember I remember the plane touching down and hearing the crackle of ice. Have you guys ever experienced that before? Okay, well, for me, that was just a first experience of ever. And so we got out of the airplane. The kids, remember, we'd come from Hawaii. So the kids had, I'm a better traveler now, but they had a pair of jeans, a t-shirt, and I managed to put in a jacket. That was it. And we ended up in a blizzard in Chicago. We stayed at the Palmer House Hilton, which is downtown Chicago. We got in a big taxi that I'd never even, you know, these things don't exist in Australia. It was a taxi that held about, I don't know, 16 people. And as we were in this taxi driving to the Palmer House Hilton, I think we got one of the last rooms that was available because no one was going anywhere. I remember just sitting in that van going, how did my life get here? Like, what is going on? And everybody was in Chicago for different reasons. And I felt in that moment like I was in a sitcom, like this isn't real life right now. And so we were stranded, if you will, in Chicago. I remember Josh was throwing up the next day because, you know, life with kids, it's just always an adventure, right? He was 8 years old. And I think we got to fly out the very next night. And Robert Cameron and Seth Mizell picked us up from the hotel, from the airport. And our very first Sunday was January 10th, 1999. And I remember that because the next day Sam turned 5. And we, there was a family in our church years ago called the Teases, Fred and Beth Tease, who had twin baby girls who are a similar age to Sam. And on our first Sunday, we thought, well, we need to rally a family and some kids to celebrate. And so we befriended them in a day, and we went to Chuck E. Cheese on that Monday night to celebrate Sam's 5th birthday. And so it began. This, where'd that come from? It's 20 years that who could have known? That who could have known? And as I think about it, you know, my kids are now 30, 28, and almost 25. Sam will be 25 on January 11th. He's coming to the party. You know, Steve said to him last night, he flew in, he said, just a reminder, the party's not for you, just in case. He goes, yeah, I'm 25. That's a big deal. That's how quick your kids' lives go, too, just a reminder. But where was I going with that? 25. Lost it. Who could have thought the journey would be this? Oh, man, that's what happens when your brain's 55. A thought comes and it goes just as quick, and then you're... But who would have known? Oh, that's what I was going to say. So my kids and you all have been a part of the village that has helped raise them. So to you all, I want to say a huge thank you, because my family is what they are very much because of the people of our church and the women of Wave Church. Some of you have been here. Oh, thanks, love. Oh, that just came out of nowhere. But you all know I'm a crier anyway, so whatever. You're not surprised. But thank you to each and every one of you. Some of you have been here for a lot of the journey. Some of you have been here for all of the journey. I've watched some of your lives. You've walked through some incredible things. And I just want to say I'm honored as a pastor to have been beside you. And I've watched your faith. And you have challenged me to be a better pastor and a better person. So thank you. 20 years. And the best is yet to come. Got another 20 years. So, whoa. There you go. All right, so we go home now. So, yes, come and celebrate this Friday night or Sunday, 11 a.m., and let's give God the glory, because that's who deserves it, 100%. So here we are, my life in the United States of America, and I am eternally grateful for a people who accepted us when we were little Aussies. And crazy Aussies, and in some ways we're still crazy, you know. It's all good though. All right, new year, new you, right? Isn't that how it works? New year, new you. I'm expecting new things, expecting a new me. And sometimes we get to a year and go, well, that was a bit of a bummer. I used to go into each year and go, God, I wonder what's going to happen this year. And I'm just praying, believing that this is going to be the best year and then things would happen. And I would be like, well, let's punt to next year, maybe next year. But I've come to realize that in every year, God is at work, in every season of our life. Isn't that crazy? It's, you know, sometimes we think, well, that was a bummer. God, I guess you just kind of skipped that year. No, he's been right there every moment of every season. So we're going to take a look at the life of Hannah, and we're going to read a big chunk of scripture, if that's okay, because I love to get into the life of these women in the Bible that really challenged me to be better too. You know, like you all have challenged me to be better. And I'm grateful that people penned the lives of some incredible believers years ago, and we get to, you know, just watch their life and go, whoa, whoa. So we're going to pick it up in 1 Samuel 1, verse 1 to 28 in the Message translation. And I think the guys will have it up for us. We got to them a little bit late today, but that's okay. They're amazing. So the Bible says, there once was a man who lived in Ramathaim. He was descended from the old Ziph family in the Ephraim Hills. His name was Elkanah. And it goes on to say, and he had two wives. The first was Hannah. And the second was, okay, how would you guys pronounce that? Penina? 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 Penina. Who's Penina? Who's Penina? We'll go with Penina then, okay. Truth is, I don't really know. But these names, man, I thought Thunder was crazy. Penina kind of takes the cake a little bit. Oh, I'm just kidding. He's coming this week. I'm so happy. Penina had children. Here we go. This is the beginning of this journey. Penina had children, Hannah did not. Are you grateful you live now that polygamy is not a thing? Like, life's pretty tough as it is. Can you imagine adding that into the equation? Ooh, dang. Every year, this man went from his hometown up to Shiloh to worship and offer a sacrifice to God of the angel armies. I love how the Message Bible says that. Eli and his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, served as the priests of God there. When Elkanah sacrificed, he passed helpings from the sacrificial meal around to his wife, Penina, and all her children. But he always gave an especially generous helping to Hannah because he loved her so much and because God had not given her children. But her rival wife taunted her cruelly. Listen to what the Word of God says. Imagine this girl's living this every minute of every day. Her rival wife taunted her cruelly, rubbing it in and never letting her forget that God had not given her children. Can you imagine that? You know, infertility is a horrible, horrible journey. But imagine you've got another wife that's, right, another woman that your husband is, I mean, like, sometimes I'm like, man alive, these people, legends, seriously. I couldn't have done it. I'd have been off in the desert under a tree by myself, eating a loaf of bread. No, I don't know what I would have done. I'm just kidding. I'm just making it up, making stuff up. This went on year after year. Every time she went to the sanctuary of God, she could expect to be taunted. Hannah was reduced to tears and had no appetite, understandably. Her husband Elkanah said, oh, Hannah, why are you crying? Man, sometimes, gotta love him, but geez Louise. Buddy, it's not hard to know. Anyway, it's all good. He's a busy man. Why aren't you eating? And why are you so upset? Am I not worth more to you than 10 sons? And the truth is, I know we're laughing over there, but the truth is, when you have a deep desire for a child or for, you know, a lot of things in life, it's like, look, I love you, but there are dreams in my heart and I'm trusting God with them. And I love you and I'm grateful for you, but whew, this thing is eating me up. So Hannah ate. Then she pulled herself, listen to this, she pulled herself together, slipped away quietly and entered the sanctuary. Don't you love this little girl? I just think about her and think, Hannah, you're just a legend girl. The priest Eli was on duty at the entrance to God's temple in the customary seat. Crushed in soul. There's nothing worse than a crushed soul. Hannah prayed to God and cried inconsolably. Then she made a vow. O God of the angel armies, if you'll take a good hard look at my pain, if you'll quit neglecting me and go into action for me by giving me a son, I'll give him completely, unreservedly to you. I'll set him apart for a life of holy discipline. It so happened that as she continued in prayer before God, Eli was watching her closely. Hannah was praying in her heart silently. Her lips moved, but no sound was heard. You know, you can imagine this little girl who's just brokenhearted, who's just bowing before God on the floor. I just picture her on the floor and just going, God, I am so brokenhearted, but I trust you. In all of this, I trust you. But there's such, in a sense, devastation in her heart. Can you imagine? Have you ever travailed in prayer where there's just such brokenheartedness that you're praying, but there's sometimes groans coming out. That's all you can express. And you can understand that this woman sounds like, you know, her lips might be moving, but she's kind of just in that moment where, God, I can barely get the words out. That's what I imagine at this time. Her lips moved, but no sound was heard. Eli, the mighty man of God, jumped to the conclusion that she was drunk. He approached her and said, "You're drunk. How long do you plan to keep this up? Sober up, woman." And Hannah said, "Oh no, sir, please. I'm a woman hard used. I haven't been drinking. Not a drop of wine or beer. The only thing I've been pouring out is my heart, pouring it out to God. Don't for a minute think I'm a bad woman. It's because I'm so desperately unhappy and in such pain that I've stayed here so long." Eli answered her, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel give you what you have asked of him." Beautiful moments in Scripture. "Think well of me and pray for me," she said, and went her way. Then she ate heartily, her face radiant. Up before dawn, they worshiped God and returned home to Ramah. Elkanah slept with Hannah, his wife, and God, listen to the way the Scripture says this in the Message translation, and God began making the necessary arrangement in response to what she had asked. God began making the necessary arrangement in response to what she had asked. I read this scripture, I think it's in the Passion Translation, I can't remember where it is, but it talked about the mystery of God. There is a mystery in the way God works. And the scripture says it's like a baby being formed in a mother's womb. The mystery is likened to a baby being formed in a mother's womb. And I thought, what a great word picture that is. Because isn't it a beautiful mystery? A baby from two cells combining, a human being happens. And, you know, as I read this scripture, I thought, yep, there's the mystery of her infertility. God was making a way for this baby to come. Beautiful. So, before the year was out, Hannah had conceived. Before the year was out, Hannah had conceived and given birth to a son. She named him Samuel, explaining, "I asked God for him." And then the Bible goes on to say that they took another trip, and she didn't take Samuel because she was still nursing him, but she said, I'm going to bring him next year, and she did. And that vow that she had made, she fulfilled. She gave this boy that she had prayed for and asked God for, she gave to Eli the priest to raise, to serve Jesus, or serve God all the days of his life. So I've got a couple of thoughts as we go into a new year. As I look at the life of Hannah, and boy, she challenges me. Do you feel challenged as you listen to that? I'm grateful for men and women who penned the Word of God so that we get a glimpse into the lives of some amazing people that kind of stops us in our tracks and goes, wow, God, These were legend people that had incredible faith. God, may I be a woman that has that kind of faith, that whatever I face in life, I would run to your sanctuary or run to your presence, fall to my knees, and go, God, I trust you. So, first thing this morning, first point is don't allow bitterness to enter your spirit. New year, new you. How is this year going to be different? How is this year going to be different for you? Listen to me. Your circumstances, isn't it an interesting thing? A year comes to an end. Maybe it's been a little bit rough. And we sometimes think, oh, it's a whole new year next year. It'll be better. And yet sometimes we realize that often the circumstances don't change. They don't. They don't just miraculously disappear because December 31st goes and January 1st comes. They don't just come. It doesn't just happen. And so I want to challenge you as I challenge myself. Don't let bitterness take root or enter your spirit. Don't let it. You know, bitter moments are unavoidable. Where'd that come from? Unavoidable. Bitter moments. I want you to write that down. Bitter moments are unavoidable. But bitterness is a choice. You overcome the power of bitterness when you surrender life's bitter moments in prayer. Verse 10, not in the Message translation, I think in the NIV or the ESV, says, she was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. Like, that was a bitter moment for Hannah. I've been taunted. I have asked. I have prayed. I have travailed. I have this woman who will not let me forget that the thing I want the most, I don't have. And yet she didn't get bitter. Don't you love that? The disappointments, the heartache, hope that's been deferred. You know, a couple of months ago, I was listening to a podcast by a girl called Mia Fields. Anybody heard of Mia Fields? I actually sent it to a couple of girls. And Mia is an incredible songwriter. She's written songs with the Hillsong team, I think with the Bethel team a little bit, what's the other guys? Oh, I can't remember. But anyway, a lot of people that we would know, she has been a songwriter on these albums, on these songs. And she grew up in Australia. She's actually a triplet and was in Australia for the longest time and really felt God called her to live in the United States. So she'd been based in Nashville. But she tells this story how she'd been praying for her husband and this person was not turning up at all. And in fact, I'm going to invite her to come and speak here because it's such a powerful story. If you listen to this girl share this journey of how she trusted God, I think at the point that she ends up getting married, I think she's like mid-30s. So she'd been praying for this guy to turn up, and she just, like Hannah, this story reminds me of Mia because she was travailing in prayer, and God was speaking to her, and she had... she felt like God said, the answer will come in the mail. And randomly, this guy, through a series of events, emails her. There are just some things that she shares the story specifically to what God had spoken into her heart happened. But what I love as she tells the story is she never once let bitterness. Well, why me? Well, why do I feel left out? Why is my life not like what I had hoped it would be? And sometimes we come into a new year and we're hoping that I thought my life would look different. I thought I'd be at a different spot. Can I just tell you that everybody thinks that? Everybody at some point goes, I really didn't know I'd be here. I promise you, when I was in that taxi van in Chicago, I'm like, I never envisioned my life. I never thought I'd be stuck in a blizzard. I come from a country that's got a lot of desert and heat. But there I was. And the next 20 years looked different to what I thought it would. Guess what? God was in the middle of it too. So let's not let bitterness enter our spirit. Is that good? So I want us to, you know what, at the end of the year, you might look back because God works in mysterious ways. And maybe your circumstances haven't changed, but you can change. You can be different. You can approach this life and go, you know what? God, I saw you at work. I'm different. The pain I've endured and walked through, I have a strength now that I didn't have before. I can face life and other circumstances and whatever. I can face it with, God, you have worked in my life. Second thing, We talk about this a lot. Don't let offense in. Verse 14 and 16. This is an interesting little passage of scripture here. Eli jumped to the conclusion that she was drunk. He approached her and said, "You're drunk. How long do you plan to keep this up? Sober up, woman." You know, it's a little bit rough when you're in pain and heartache and heartbreak. It's a little bit tougher when the men of God or the women of God or the people, your overseers or your leaders, get it wrong sometimes. We see Eli and his humanity. And it would have been so easy for her to go, "Oh, blow all this. I'm out of here. What am I even here for?" I love her response was, "Sir, no, you've got it wrong. And I'm not going to get offended. You've just called me a drunk woman." You know, like, it's not like he said, "Oh, well, you know," he said, you're drunk. "How long are you going to live like this? Sober up, get it together." And she went, no, sir. "So you're wrong." And can I just encourage us in church life? Because, you know, we have a culture that is crazy offense driven. Everybody gets offended and they put it on social media and everybody jumps on and then their offense becomes everybody else's offense. And honestly, it's creeping into church and it's creeping into our lives. And you know what? The only way this world will be changed and won for Jesus, if we as women of God and men of God go, "You know what? I'm not going to let, even if in church life I get hurt." Because that's what happens. People get ruffled and hurt in church life. And just because guess what? We're humans. And I'm not just talking about pastors either, even though we are, but the people that you interact, community group leaders, or the people you serve with, they might say something that really cuts deep into you. You have a choice. Yes. "Oh, no. No, no, you got it wrong. I promise you. That's not my heart. That's not. I'm sorry that maybe you thought that, but hey, let's not break a relationship here. Let's not just pull out and just go, that's it, I'm offended." Because I'm telling you, girls, we need a woman of God and we need a man of God that are going to choose to live offense-free. We have to. This world is relying on us. You know, we were in London recently. It's funny how culture is just so interesting. And so Alyssa and Jared and the kids were in a taxi going to the airport, and this car, so this is in London going to Heathrow Airport, this car was trying to get in, he's revving his engine, he's trying to cut in on them, and so this taxi driver was like, I'm just going to keep going, and he's trying to push his way in, and so anyway, he winds down his window, because this guy is almost hitting them, and so the taxi driver winds down his window, and the other guy winds down his window and says, "Hey, what are you doing?" He's like, and I can't do an English accent, but it was like, "Oh, man, I was just trying to get into the lane." And the taxi driver's like, he said, "I thought you were going to let me in." And he said, "Well, actually, no, I'm not." And the guy in the car was like, "Oh, well, rightio then, okay. That's England. Oh, rightio then, okay." And I'm like, in Australia or America, I'd be like, like, "Rightio then, okay." Like, what? But it just taught me something in that moment. We can choose. We can absolutely choose. "Oh, all right then. Okay, on my way." I thought, boy, the English taught me something right there. But you know what? There's a whole lot of the New Testament written by people that were imprisoned. And I'm betting that they first got in there and thought, "Well, this just, what the heck is going on here? How did I end up here? I don't want to be here." But because of the hand of God and because they surrendered their life, we benefit because we have the written word of God. But imagine if they got an effect. "I'm not serving God anymore. Look what happens. I end up in jail." And yet it was by divine appointment. And I thank God for that. For hearts open to receiving and hearing. Verse 18 said, she said, "May your servant find favor in your eyes." Then she went on her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Why? Why? She just surrendered her. Surrendered it. You know what? God, I just surrendered it. Lastly, third point. Don't look at man to answer what only God can. Don't look at man to answer what only God can. Don't look at man to answer what only God can. Verse 19, and the Lord remembered her. I promise you, the Lord remembers you. The Lord never forgets. I've got this beautiful prayer, although I don't have time, but in 1 Samuel 2, Hannah prays. And her prayer starts, I'm bursting with God news. I'm walking on air. Don't you love that? It's a Message translation. I'm laughing at my rivals. The ones who taunted me, I get to laugh now. I'm dancing my salvation. Nothing and no one is holy like God. No rock mountain like our God. Don't dare talk pretentiously. Not a word of boasting ever. For God knows what's going on. He takes the measure of everything that happens. The weapons of the strong are smashed to pieces while the weak are infused with fresh strength. And he goes on and on. The barren woman has a house full of children. She ended up going on. I think she ended up with 6 or 7 kids in the end. God brings death and God brings life. He brings down to the raises up. God brings poverty, wealth. He puts poor people on their feet again. It's just a prayer from the depths of her heart where she goes, God, only you. Only you. Don't let bitterness, any spirit, don't. Don't let offense get in. And trust God. He'll make a way. Don't look to man, you know. We've got the wonder of being in a church like this is there are incredible girls and people around us who can cheer us on, but they cannot do what only God can do. You know, I remember years ago when, you know, Rachel was going through her visa moment. And, you know, I'll never forget this, Rach, because we were praying that she wouldn't have to go back to Australia. And she ended up going, having to go back, and she was there for 5 years. But I can tell you now that she would tell you in a heartbeat, I wouldn't change that for the world, you know. But I remember one morning she came to work and she just said, you know, I had an incredible time with God last night. I had an incredible encounter with him. I just spent time in his presence. I spent time praying. I spent time in his word. And I don't know which way this is going to land, but I know he's got it. And the truth was he did. Now, she had to leave the country, but she found her way back. And it's a good reminder to all of us what man cannot do, what only God can do. We didn't even know that Rachel would be back, but here she is. Man can't do it, but God can. I want this year to be different for you, but more than that, I want you to be different. I want you to have encountered God in a fresh and more powerful way. I pray this year that we would be women of prayer like we've never prayed before. And so starting that, I'm going to ask us all a day a week if we'll be praying for devoted. Pray. Pray for our visiting guest speakers, but pray for the guests that are coming here, that their lives would be transformed. And because their life is transformed, their families will be changed, their friends will be changed, their communities will be changed because they came here and they were in his presence. And a word was spoken and it transformed and changed their heart, their reality. That's what I'm praying. Will you join me praying? I'm praying that we will be worshipers like we've never been before. That we will drop to our knees like Hannah when it gets, you know, in the tough seasons, but also in the high seasons. God, there's nothing I could have done for this high season except give you glory. And in this low season, the only way I can get through it is to give you glory. I honor you. And I pray that we would be women in the word. I pray, you know, I have a year devotional. That's what I'm choosing to do this year. I pray you would do that. Get a year's devotional or be in the word. May this be a year where we are marked by pressing into God in a way we never have before. New year, new you. No bitterness, no offense. Let it go. The stuff you're carrying in your heart against people, the stuff you think you've forgotten, but if I mention their name, you'll let it go. And trust God to do what only he can do. In Jesus' name. And 2019 is going to be great. Why don't we jump to our feet? Grab one girl next to you. And I want you to pray for her. Let's just spend a moment just praying for her. You might not know her. Just ask her a name if you don't. And just pray for her. Can you just pray? And let's just spend a minute praying for a girl beside us. Let's pray for her that 2019, that she would know Jesus more than she's ever known him. her relationship with him would be stronger than it's ever been. God, that she would be a woman of the word as she reads your word. Lord, we just pray that there would be wisdom that she would gain from it. Lord, you would speak to her. You would unlock the answers that she needs. Lord, I pray that she would begin to pray like she never has before. Father, she would pour out her heart to you. Lord, she would honor you first and foremost in her life, always. Give you glory, give you honor, lift her hands always. And when it's raging, a raging battle, and when it's a season of joy and laughter, always lifting her hand, honoring that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords of her life. We thank you, God. We commit 2019 to you. It's a new year. We've never lived it before. And Father, we want to give you our very best this year. All of us. Every part of us, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We love you. We're grateful. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for her. Thank you that you put her beside me to walk out this journey called life. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. And you know, while every head is bowed, you can just stand, you know, in your little group, that's fine. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I want to give each of us an opportunity to respond to Jesus. Do you know him? New year, new you. Maybe it starts with, yeah, I got to surrender my life completely, wholly, fully. Maybe you've done it before. Oh, I'm a Christian. But you know that you haven't been living the way you should be. I talked to a little girl recently and she had one foot in, you know, she was living a double life. And she said, I thought I could do it. I watched other people do it and I realized I can't. God was calling me to himself. And she fully surrendered her life to Jesus. Maybe that's you. Or maybe you've never known what it is to know him at all. You've maybe brought up in church or you've heard about Jesus, but this morning you would say to me, Sharon, I didn't know that I could know him personally. I want to pray for you this morning. So with head still bowed and eyes still closed, if that's you this morning and say, Sharon, could you pray for me? Just lift your hand this morning and I would love to pray for you. Wonderful sweetheart, I see you. Anyone else this morning, say, Sharon, could you pray for me? I want to fully surrender my life to the Lord Jesus. I want to know him intimately, powerfully. I want him to be my best friend, my go-to, the one I run to, the one I know has my back. Fantastic, I see you, sweetheart. Anyone else this morning want to say yes to Jesus? Thanks, sweetie pie, see you there. Anyone else this morning want to say yes to Jesus? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, girls, let's pray this prayer together. Say, dear Lord Jesus, thank you that you died for me. And right now, I ask you, come into my heart. Change me from the inside out. Thank you for forgiving my sin. And thank you that today, I walk out of here a Christian. Christ in me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we congratulate those beautiful girls who made a decision to follow Jesus?
We hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Sharon Kelly. You can find more resources by Pastor Sharon at stevekelly.tv and wavechurch.com.